NGU, W4NGU, 0TR. 0TR, clear. For you just a few minutes ago, I thought I heard you out. Mobile just wants to say good morning. I was eating breakfast at the time.
Well, I just called Steve to see if he was around, but he hadn't jumped back in here. What you been up to?
A lot of yard work. Bernice has been gardening, and she's sitting over here finishing up reading the paper. And I just polished off some eggs and sausage and toast, and just thought I'd get over here and say hello. Jim K4LAO is supposed to call me, so if he calls, I'll have to take it here. But he's probably busy too. Today's grandkids' day. We got to pick up the grandson at noon because the older one's graduating the 8th grade, and they're going to be attending that.
So we have a ceremony for an 8th grader?
Well, I know it's an hour and a half mass, put it that way, because they went to the Catholic school this year, and next year they're transferring back to regular schools. But during this pandemic, Amy sent them over there. It's been a real nice school.
Well, private school, they probably do some extra graduations just to keep recognition high.
Just high, so I guess that'd go along with the trend. It is $13,000 a kid.
Got St. Joseph's there on the 85.
Yes, sir. But Amy thinks a lot of them little guys, and so do we. So it's been good for them. And, you know, I take the religion part as good, and it's also history for them that they've learned in that. So it's diversification, shall we say.
Well, most private schools working pretty hard, I'll tell you. So I'm sure they pretty much got their money's worth. What's DX up to these days? I've seen 40 meters has had a couple of days just absolutely horrible.
He's paying a lot of attention, but I kick up QRZ during the day. If I come up here, you know, for lunch or something, or we just eat two meals a day, so call it what you will, lunch or dinner. Nothing. No joy this morning. I just looked a few minutes ago. Absolutely nothing. And, I was just going to sit here and eat some cherries and some grapes. And by the way, one of the features I thought was really great down at St. Joseph's was the fact that they used books.
Highlight and mark in a book?
I better mark on it or the sisters might get after you. And I don't know that the sisters teach it anymore. Back in Kansas, the sisters for a long time taught the schools, and then it went to just regular folks. But, I had a stack of books, and so it cost that much, plus the price for the books and all of that. So it's pretty pricey. That's not particularly why she's moving them. East side, I think, that's where they're going, isn't it? Isaac's going to go to East side, and it's a great school. We have some good schools here. And Jordan's going to Riverside.
Built a bunch of houses up on the hill in front of Riverside. back in the day, and I went to Eastside the first 3 years it was open. That was back in the dark ages of around 73. No, it would have opened in 70, and I graduated in 73. And I'll tell you, back then, Eastside was like a private school.
You actually graduated?
The piece of paper I photoshopped says I did.
Have sympathy for a few. Bernice is over here giggling in the background. Anyway, you left yourself wide open there, Phil.
Friend and his son just graduated from Furman magna cum laude, and he's marrying a girl that graduated summa cum laude at Furman. So I guess those are two smart young people, but I, you know the old joke, I graduated thank the Lordy.
Yeah, that makes two of us. Oh, shoot. That's something I should have done and never did. Oh, well, I went to the School of Hard Knocks, I guess. I was fortunate in that in electronics they would send me to schools around the United States, and then I had some college, so it all adds up. And then I took a correspondence course, 4 years of electronics engineering technology. And I learned a lot from that, and it was applicable to industrial electricity. You know, a lot of the electronic drives and stuff like that. And then it got into, back then, the newer things were 7400 TTL logic circuits.
Yeah, I built some stuff. We built, the Greer Club built frequency counters with a board they made and sold for years. Internationally, I had gotten out of radio. I didn't realize they kept selling the board, but it had a lot of 7400 series chips on it, a lot of them. I would have enjoyed a career in electronics, Tom. I got a car here giving me a little concern, but I think he's going to move away from me. I really think I would have enjoyed that. I repaired stereos going through college at Don Jones Stereo there on Lawrence Road, and most of the time didn't have a schematic. And I had a good oscilloscope and a good fluke meter and some other stuff, and I think I did a pretty good job not to have schematics and stuff, and I got most everything repaired. I hated turntables. I didn't like mechanical things, but there was another guy in the shop. That was his thing, so we were a pretty good team.
Fascinating, Phil. I've only repaired a couple of stereos in my life. I still have one of them. My sister gave it to me. It failed at the school, and they were going to throw it away, and she brought it to me. I think I had to change some power transistors in it. But it's darn good, well-built, discrete components and all that. But, of course, we didn't have internet, so I had no schematics either. But got lucky, I guess. Then I went to a VCR school in Kansas City that I just took on myself. And that mechanical portion of them VCRs was a nightmare. So I decided I don't want to do that. I mean, anyways, at that time, the Centaur oscilloscope was out of my pay grade that you needed to have to do that correctly.
Electronics, but I just couldn't justify it. But I got I don't remember what that thing was, 50 meg or something, Heathkit dual trace scope. And I had a B&J, if you remember that brand name. And I loved oscilloscopes. And you could just walk through anything. I was a Yamaha stereo dealer for a while. Repair station, an authorized repair station. And, man, that's a fine stereo. And they don't break much, but you can break any of them. It just turned them wide open and run them into distortion and all this kind of stuff. So a lot of it was just replace the finals, and I got to where I could do that lickety-split.
Yeah, my son-in-law, I think, had Yamahas, and he brought them down to me in Kansas one time, but I just didn't know how to... Well, I tried, but I just didn't know how to fix them right, and they were good ones. He bought them when he was in college up in Wisconsin, so that didn't work out, and I felt bad about it, but he didn't want to put any money into them. He bought another set, and but they were really high-end, nice ones, and I couldn't help my son-in-law Hal up in Michigan with that, but it just wasn't my thing. I do still have a Sencor dual trace oscilloscope, and it was the one they wanted you to have, of course, for repairing those VCRs. Well, I'm glad I never went into VCR repair or TV repair. I had schooling on TVs and that, but it just didn't pan out, you know, and everything now is throwaway items.
There used to be a stereo store on North Pleasantburg Drive right in front of Taco Casa called John Brookshire's Music Machine way back in the day. And this is mid-70s. And he was the Yamaha sales dealer, and he would have a lot of units come in. He had three stores, one in Anderson, one in Spartanburg, and he would truck them all to Greenville, and I'd pick them up and repair them. And he hired just happened to be a female manager, and she just thought she was going to tell me when I could breathe in and breathe out. And she got bad at giving me the warranty information, and I had a meeting with him, and I said, "Doc, I can't get reimbursed if I don't have the paperwork." And she got slack on getting, "Oh, I'll get it to you. So things just kind of escalated, and I finally got Yamaha to pay me what they owed me without all the paperwork, and we just had to part ways. But right after that, he didn't have service, so he went under. So they walk among us, Tom.
Live and you learn. Well, I had one when Bernice and I was in California when I was in the service. We bought a Motorola Quasar on payments, of course. We didn't have any other way to pay for it. It was supposed to be worse in a drawer, but it wasn't. That particular model, I guess. And when they moved it home, when I got out, the mover was chosen by the service, of course. And after they left, I found out the TV didn't work anymore. And it had a pin cushion panel. And they'd made an engineering goof up on that, and I figured it out, and I put bigger wattage resistors in it, and I never did have a problem with that again. Remember those Motorola Quasar works in the drawer?
Phone call, let me get back with you. W4NGU.
Not a problem, Phil. You have a good day. This is General TR Clerk.